This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Western New York race fans, it's time to crank it up.
Start your engine!
For the next hour, the airwaves belong to you. Sit down, strap in, and let's head to WGR's Fast Track.
All right, take a nice big deep breath, buddy.
With your host...
Let's go out there and have a good day, all right, bud?
Dave Buchanan.
WGR's Fast Track. I'm Dave Buchanan. Thanks for listening as always. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there, especially all you racing moms, or maybe you are a mom that races. Happy Mother's Day to you, and a big happy Mother's Day to my wife, who is the wonderful mom to our 3-year-old daughter, Rebecca, and also a big happy Mother's Day to my mom and my mother-in-law, and hope you are enjoying yours with your mom, and thanks for spending some time with us here this morning on WGR. I know I said we'd be off this week, and hey, I lied. So here we are, and... You know what? Wide open show today. No guests, all open phones here for the next 55 minutes or so. So if you got something on your mind about anything racing, feel free to chime in because we got plenty of room for you here at 803-0551, 888-550-2550. NASCAR, IndyCar, local racing, whatever you want to talk about, bring it here this morning as we've got plenty of time to talk to you race fans out there in Western New York and Southern Ontario. As this Mother's Day edition of WGR's Fast Track, recapping last night's NASCAR race at Kansas, as the KC Masterpiece 400, which is a great name for a race, by the way. It just sounds cool. And barbecue sauce, just, you know, it just goes with racing. So I definitely like the name of last night's race. As Kevin Harvick picking up the win, his fifth win already this season. Look out, Harvick is on a roll here. So we got that talked about. IndyCar, of course. We talked to Jim Aiello last week of the Indianapolis Star as the month of May in full effect down in Speedway, Indiana, in the home of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Yesterday was the Grand Prix of Indianapolis, the road course race at the Brickyard, which sees them going the opposite direction down the front straightaway, which always looks a little weird. But Will Power dominated that one, but some good racing for the lead late in the race between him and Robert Wickens and then Scott Dixon. But Will Power picked up the win, the 200th for Penske Racing in IndyCar as Penske celebrates their 50th anniversary this season. And now the attention will go back to the oval course now with practice starting up on Tuesday for the running of the greatest spectacle in racing, the Indianapolis 500. So there's that to talk about. And hey, full week and almost for most everybody, it was a full week at a race. A couple of tracks did rain out Friday and Saturday, but hey, I got both my shows in, so I got my first full weekend of local racing in, and it felt really good. So if you were out at your favorite local track this weekend, I'd love to hear about it at 803-0551, 888-550-2550. It felt like a racing weekend for once for me. You know, it just at the track and NASCAR and IndyCars, everything going on. It was a good weekend racing-wise, and we still got Sunday to just kind of relax and chill now because the Cup race with yesterday. You don't have to watch that today, so we'll just enjoy today with our families and moms. But again, we're here with you until 12 o'clock today here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Again, last night's cup race, Harvick getting the win, his fifth of the year as a late race restart. Had him sitting sixth when the green flag waved, but he made it up to second and then caught and passed Martin Truex Jr. just before taking the white flag to pick up the win, his fifth of the 2018 season. So Harvick, your winner, Truex finishing in second. Joey Logano, another solid run for him in third. Kyle Larson led the most laps. Heck of a night for he and the 42 team. They went to the rear of the field for an unapproved tire change following qualifying, and he stormed through the field and just in true Kyle Larson fashion, just riding that outside line to the front of the pack and led a good chunk of the race. Got caught up in an incident with Ryan Blaney late in the race where those two made contact, and Blaney hit the wall pretty hard and took him out of contention, but Larson overcame that and still held on to finish fourth. Another good run as Larson just continues to be one of, if not the best Chevy car right now in the field with all the struggles the Chevys have been having this season. Larson continues to be the best of the bunch as he came home fourth. Denny Hamlin in fifth. Paul Menard, a good run for he and the Wood Brothers in sixth. Eric Jones seventh. Kurt Busch, Eric Almirola, and Kyle Busch rounding up the top 10 last night. Other notable names in the field, Ricky Stenhouse and Chase Elliott finishing 11th and 12th, and a little bit of discussion on pit road following the race. Good run for David Ragan in 13th, Brad Keselowski in 14th, Clint Bowyer, part of a big late race incident, but managed to finish the race in 15th. Jimmy Johnson continues his struggles. He finished 19th, two laps down. Darrell Wallace finishing in 23rd. Daniel Suarez got caught up in an incident with Alex Bowman, and he went several laps down, finishing in 28th. Ryan Newman also caught up in that big late race wreck involving William Byron. And once again, as Darrell Walcher pointed out on the broadcast, Newman winding up with a car landing on his hood, which just seems to happen somewhat frequently in the Cup Series over the last couple of years. That's twice now this year alone that Newman has had another car land on him. He finished 30th. William Byron also part of that crash in 33rd. And Matt Kenseth, in his first start since the end of last season, this time for Roush Fenway Racing, unfortunately finished 36. He also got caught up in one of those late race accidents and finished 36 in his first Cup start of the season. And unfortunately for he and Roush Fenway Racing, but not completely surprising as they kind of struggled for most of the day, running in the 20s, falling a couple of laps down. So it's obvious they still have a lot of work to do with the six car, and you know, maybe, and they'll continue to try and improve things there. But obviously, there's a lot of struggles for the six team. And Kenseth will continue to remain in that car, I think, for like the next five races, six in a row. I think so. He's definitely running the All-Star Race in the Coke 600. And I think he's going to run these like next five races in a row in the six car. So they'll continue to work on things, of course. But they were not really looking much better than any of the races they've been running with Trevor Bayne so far this season. But Harvick, I mean, what do you say? Five wins out of the first 12 races. He's almost batting 500. And what's going to be the ceiling for this guy this year? I mean, I know Truex had such a dominating year last year, all those stage wins, eight race wins overall, 26 top 10s out of 36 races. But it seems like with Harvick, it's going to be how many wins he racks up this year already. I thought, you know, after Kyle Busch won his three in a row, that this is going to be Kyle's year to dominate. And I'm not counting Kyle out. But Harvick has just stormed back now, winning back-to-back races, answering Kyle's streak with another streak of his own. And I don't know if it's going to be like an arms race to see which one of these guys can win the most races this year, if one of them's going to just keep piling them on. And it could be Harvick with five now. And after the race, some interesting quotes from Harvick, as he was quoted as saying that it's addicting. Now it's a game when it comes to winning. So it's not like they're going to take it easy and maybe do a little bit of testing here during the middle stage of the season, knowing that they're going to be, you know, they're sealed into the postseason, obviously, that, you know, they might work on some notebooks and some setups here in the middle part of the season. No, it's potential that he and Rodney Childers are just going to go to the track every week, just going for the W. Obviously, they don't have to worry about the points because they're in the playoffs, But instead of just maybe taking it easy or building a notebook for the postseason, they're just going to keep trying to pile up wins. And it'll be interesting to see how many Harvick and the four team can get this year, because it's been 10 years since we've had a double-digit winner in the Cup Series. Jimmy Johnson, when he won a second championship in 07, won 10 races. Truex, of course, won 8 last year. But between there, we haven't had really anybody win more than 6 or 7 races in a Cup season. So Harvick, at least at this pace, will likely break double digits. Obviously, it's a long season. We're only a third of the way through it. But there is potential here for Kevin Harvick to get to 10, 12, maybe even 15 wins. Just at the pace he's at, he can easily do it. We'll see if they can keep it up all season. But yeah, Harvick saying it's addicting. Now it's a game. It's just a good time to be at Stewart Haas Racing, he said. They're doing a great job putting fast cars in the track. But when you look at it, a night like tonight really shows the experience of the team, because he feels like it's the kind of cars that he had in 2014 when he won his championship, but they had a lot of parts failures, and it was, of course, a new team with Stewart Haas that year. And then he goes on to say, as I'm kind of paraphrasing here, made a lot of mistakes and just didn't really know how to deal with like we do now. So you know, this is 4 more years of experience and a championship season under their belts. They're now really feeling like they can just go all out each and every week. And we'll see if he can pile on and get up to double digits. But yeah, Harvick definitely on pace, and Kyle Busch possibly also could. Again, it could be just an arms race between these two guys who could stack up the most wins this season. Who would you like to see win more, Kyle Busch or Kevin Harvick? 803-0551, 888-552-550. Although Busch is still the points leader, of course, Harvick has those two finishes that are worse than 30th between the crash at Daytona and the problems at Fontana that ended his win streak earlier this year. So that's why Harvick is still third in points behind Kyle Busch and Joey Logano, although Kyle now has, well, for Kyle, he struggled. He had the parts failure a couple weeks ago, and then he's got a couple finishes, the 10th and 13th, but he still leads the points. Logano is second, Harvick is third, then Keselowski, Kurt Busch, Bowyer, Hamlin, Truex, Blaney, Larson, your top 10. Then you got Almirola in 11th, then there's a gap back to Jimmy Johnson in 12th, and then you've got the guys that are going to be fighting for those final points positions for the postseason here for the rest of the regular season, with Jones, Bowman, Elliott, Stenhouse, and then Austin Dillon is 17th, but of course he's got that Daytona 500 win. So actually, he would be last in for the postseason, and Stenhouse would be the first car out. And then you've got, you know, just on the outside, Menard, Byron, Newman, Suarez, and Bubba Wallace there back in 22nd. So obviously, we talked a lot last week about the points in the playoffs, and you know, once we get out of the Coke 600 in 2 weeks, you don't see a lot of movement unless guys kind of pull off those surprise wins in some of the summer races. We'll see how that develops. 803-0551, 888-552-550. Of course, the big news of the week in NASCAR, though, came early in the week as the report from Reuters that the majority owners of NASCAR, the France family, are possibly exploring. Well, they are exploring selling a sale that could include a majority stake in NASCAR, and that was the report from Reuters early last week. And it's been a lot of discussion this week about the potential future of the sport should the France family sell their large stake in NASCAR, and what the sport would look like when, if and when that happens. Obviously, NASCAR has no comment, and apparently there was an internal memo saying that the France family was committed to stock car racing. But the news comes at an interesting time, especially we just had the news that NASCAR was buying ARCA. NASCAR has departed with some executives, and some people have left the company. Actually, a couple of people with Western New York ties have left the company recently. Jim Cassidy, who is from Fredonia, just got promoted to an international position, working with the Mexico series and the Euro series for NASCAR. He was let go by NASCAR. They parted ways. And then Kurt Culbert from Wellsville, who worked in the communications department, headed that up. He departed NASCAR shortly after the season began to take a job in the financial industry. So we're seeing some executives start to leave NASCAR, and they might be starting to trim down some of their overhead for a potential sale. And not too many names have been leaked as potential buyers for this majority stake in the sport. One is being floated around right now is Comcast, who, of course, owns NBC, NBCSN, a major partner. And then we've had the news this week that Comcast is looking to buy Fox. And if that means that if Fox Sports 1 is part of that deal, that means Comcast would own both NASCAR television partners if this all happened. So what would that look like? But I don't think it's not going to be like when the Bills came up for sale and you had the Pegulas and other people, individuals kind of bought, looking to buy the team. I think if someone's going to buy it, I think it's going to be, a big conglomerate corporation that's going to come and buy it, like a Comcast, like the company that bought Formula One. You know, I don't see a single person entity or a family, I guess you could say, like in the Frances or the Pegulas, to purchase NASCAR, and it's going to be a major corporation that kind of buys it and comes in and brings even more of a corporate mentality to the sport. And that's what, all these people that like to, pile on the Frances, especially Brian France, for how they've run the sport since the passing of Bill Jr. And yes, they've made mistakes along the way, but some people like to kind of go overboard with their piling on. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, you got to go back to how it used to be with no stages and no playoffs and all that, and go back to, the old style cars. You're not going to get that with whoever buys this. It's going to be more, they're going to continue to change the sport and trying to revive television ratings and revive ticket sales. And they're going to make changes to NASCAR that's going to aim for a younger demographic. So for all these people that hate changing the sport, I'm going to tell you that, yeah, you're going to potentially get rid of the France family, at least out of NASCAR, but it's probably, you're going to see a lot more change in the future, and because they're going to try and find ways to continue to increase the profitability, the marketability of the sport. As NASCAR right now, it's well documented, all their struggles, the sponsorship issues, that the title sponsorship money is not there like it used to be, with these negotiations with Monster, and the fact they're going to be changing up how they do the title sponsorship of the Cup Series, with going from just one main naming rights sponsor to a series of official series sponsors. So the business is going to continue to change, and the product is going to continue to change. And so for everybody that they claim to be these old school fans that want to get rid of the France family, I'm just going to tell you, look out, because unless Humpy Wheeler comes in and buy it, I think you're just going to continue to see a lot more change. And change needs to happen, obviously. The schedule has got to change, shortening the races, I think, except for the major tentpole races, like your Daytona 500s and Southern 500s. Races have to get shorter, the season has to get shorter, and some new life has to be injected into the schedule. And the schedule, depending on who buys it and what actually is part of the transaction, because, of course, the Frances, not only do they own NASCAR, but they own International Speedway Corporation, which owns, I think, 12 out of the 25 tracks, including Daytona and Watkins Glen and Richmond and Phoenix, among others. If the Frances still own ISC, depending on who buys NASCAR, how that relationship is going to work, and the relationship between whoever owns the majority stake of NASCAR versus the major track owners in ISC and Speedway Motorsports, who, of course, is, the Smith family, Bruton Smith and Marcus Smith, and that own SMI, how will that relationship change? Will whoever becomes a majority owner, will they be more willing to work with more different track owners, independent track owners? I don't know what facilities are out there that could come in that are owned independently. The one track that always gets mentioned is Iowa Speedway, which is actually owned by NASCAR and not ISC. So I don't know if that would be part of a transaction, but would we see some of the favoritism shown to ISC and SMI facilities? Would that go away, and would be a little more open bidding to land major NASCAR dates, not only in the Cup Series, but the Truck Series and the Xfinity Series? So a lot of change will come if and when this transaction happens and the France family sells their majority stake in NASCAR, and what the leadership of the sport will look like once all that transpires. But I guess if I own NASCAR, I hate to make it sound like that. But if it was me taking over, yeah, the schedule would be the first thing that would get would to take a look at. I really don't I'm fine with playoffs and stages and all that. I think it it generates drama, which is good. I know it's made for TV drama, I guess, but you got to do something because the old way of just a long 36 race season with one points that just it's more likely to lean towards one guy being able to dominate a season, kind of like Martin Truex. I mean, imagine if we had the old point system last year with Martin Truex, what was he was doing? The championship would have been sewn up long before we got to Homestead. So I like having this, championship game, I guess you can call it, in Homestead. So I would be for keeping stages and playoff racing in the sport, and I would really look to start with the schedule and work on that, make that more entertaining, shorten the season up, have less big end-of-year races, go head-to-head with the NFL, of course, too. Despite television ratings for everybody being trending downward the last few years, obviously NASCAR, they're losing ratings a little bit more than sports like the NFL, but continue to improve the schedule, continue to work on the digital aspect, too. Obviously, NASCAR's been trying to get better at that and working with people like Twitter and putting in-car camera views on Twitter and their app and RaceView and everything that they do. Continue to work on that product as well, too, and everything that goes with that. I know NASCAR has also been doing esports stuff, which I don't know anything about, by the way, and I don't get the attraction of it, but they announced a new esports league for kids, I believe. And they do a lot with iRacing, of course, but continue to work on that and continue to try and have their demographic and target audience continue to skew younger to trying to get more fans into the sport. Because when you look at, and one of those lists came out this week, the average age of the sports fan for major sports in America, NASCAR is one of the oldest audience for average age of audience. I mean, they're just behind usually like golf and horse racing for oldest average age of audience, whereas sports like the NBA and even the NHL and the NFL, skew a little bit younger. 803-0551, 888-550-2550. If you want to talk about that or anything else that's going on in the world of motorsports, phone lines are open for you. We're going to be getting a guest here, I believe, in the middle segment, so, but we'll still take phone calls as well. I want to play a comment from Stuart Friesen when we get back after his third place run at Kansas in the truck race on Friday night. We'll talk about that briefly because he gave a shout out to his home track, and that was pretty cool. And we'll do a quick recap of yesterday's IndyCar race at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway too. So that's all coming back when we get back on Fast Track here on WGR.
Stuart, before I open it up to the floor, talk a little bit about difficulties with your shifter.
Yeah, the shifter knob broke off there once we got the lead. And then trying to figure out where the knob actually was in the car and make sure it didn't get under a pedal or something. And trying to save fuel. For whatever reason, I cycled the ignition and went dead. So I had to, totally power down the car and then power it back up. And I really didn't realize if you fall back those spots under yellow, you lose them. So that was new to me. But, like I said, we had a great Chevy Silverado and we were able to race back up there. So it really didn't, hurt us too bad.
Hey, Stuart, Jeff Gluck from JeffGluck.com. Along the same lines on that restart, with no shifter knob, how did you do that? How did you shift? And also, where
was it? When I was a kid growing up at Ransomville Speedway, the track my family ran, I'm pretty sure a water truck we had was about the same way, so it wasn't really a big deal.
There's Stuart Friesen following the truck race on Friday night that he finished third in behind Noah Gragson and Kyle Busch, referencing his days driving the water truck at the Big R. And when he and his family owned the facility and teaching him how to drive a stick shift without a knob on the shifter as the shift knob fell off his Hallmar Racing 52 Chevy Silverado, easy for me to say, in the truck race on Friday night, but still managed to finish third and may have not made friends with Kyle Busch there as they had a little on-track altercation, forced Kyle Busch almost to drive off into the grass, and Stewart tried to apologize, but according to some reports I saw on social media, Kyle wasn't having it, wasn't too happy with Stewart following the race. But another good run for Stewart Fries, another top five run. He is getting so close to breaking through for a first career Truck Series get a Truck Series win on the pavement. And of course, he had that great run in Eldora last year, but still looking to get that first win on a pavement track. And he's had some great runs this season, and could potentially make the truck playoffs this year. A win obviously would go a long way, but he's right in the mix here early on. And last year, of course, started the year, they struggled. He took some races off, but then came back and was gangbusters late last season and improved big time. And hopefully if he runs all the races this year, he'll make the Truck Series playoffs, hopefully. 803-0551, 888-552-550. We're actually going to talk to Stephen Petty from Merrittville and Humberstone Speedways here in just a couple of minutes. A little bit of short notice, but Stephen's going to join us to talk about those two tracks as we hit a few more local racing facilities here to talk about. But the IndyCar race yesterday, Will Power, as I said earlier, picking up the win, leading 56 laps, but had to do some battling with Robert Wickens for a little bit. As Wickens continues to be so impressive here in his rookie year and really shows just what talent he has driving for Schmidt-Peterson Motorsports. Power got the win. Scott Dixon got by Wickens late to finish second after Dixon started 18th, drove through the field. Wickens wound up third, finishing with leading 20 laps and coming home third. Sebastian Bourdais, Alexander Rossi rounded out the top five. Then it was Elio Castroneves, who, of course, has been away from IndyCar full-time this year, doing some sports car racing for Team Penske, but, of course, ran yesterday and will run the Indianapolis 500 as he continues to get his fourth win in the Indianapolis 500. But he finished sixth yesterday. James Hinchcliffe finishing seventh. Simon Pagenaud got into an early race incident but came back to finish eighth. Graham Rahal, Takuma Sato rounded out the top 10. Joseph Newgarden spun out late in the race and wound up finishing 11th. And then finishing 12th yesterday, Zachary Kelman DeMello. He is, we talked about last week, of course, with Jim Aiello, that Pietro Fittipaldi was one of the entries for the Indianapolis 500, but broke his legs, both legs, in a sports car crash last week. And the team announcing that Kelman DeMello will drive that car for Fittipaldi. He did yesterday, of course, and he will do so for the Indianapolis 500. So he finished 12th. And a tight points battle early on here in the season with Newgarden holding just a two-point lead now over Rossi. Handful of races into the season, Bourdais, who had a good run yesterday, is third. Then Dixon now. Scott Dixon, after his runner-up yesterday, is fourth. And Hinchcliffe rounding out the top five in IndyCar points now. And they'll be back on track on the oval track at the Brickyard starting on Tuesday. And then look forward to qualifying later next week as well, too. And we are just 2 weeks away now from a Memorial Day weekend. And, of course, the Indianapolis 500, and I'm looking forward to that one as always. 803-0551, 888-552-550. But let's go to the hotline and bring in from the he of course works with me at the Ransomville Speedway on Friday nights, where he serves as the PR director and third string announcer. But he's also now working Saturday nights at the Merrittville Speedway and the Humberstone Speedway on Sunday nights, where he's been for a few seasons. Stephen Petty joins us on the line. Stephen, thank you for doing this on short notice, my friend.
Not a problem, Dave. Good to be on.
Well, you are off to a nice start this season at the Merrittville Speedway, as they got show number two in the books this year, and year number two under the ownership of Don Spies. What are things like so far this season there in Thorold, Ontario?
So far, racing action's been fantastic with the modifieds. All six of our divisions we have up at Merrittville. The modifieds, Matt Williamson drove away last night after an exciting pass on Chad Brockman on the outside at turn three at Merrittville. Just unbelievable pass. Ryan Soucy finished fifth last night. They swapped engines after hot laps, so they went back to Bicknell's, got a brand-new W16 motor, and put it in the car. Ryan started dead last in the feature, finished fifth. And that was just unbelievable to see all the work that the Slack crew and Bicknell and everybody did last night. There were the modified.
It helps that Ryan works for Bicknell now, I bet.
yeah, I think that price tag helps just a little bit over there.
Get the employee discount, at least.
At the sportsmen pretty exciting there as well. We had 25 sportsmen last night over there, and I'm trying to remember who won last night. Gee, that's my mind switching racetrack modes on me all of a sudden. James Michael Friesen picked up the win last night, started up front. James Michael pretty much drove away. The Hoosier Stocks' Dave Bailey started 10th and drove away to another win after a battle with Jason Fontaine. Cole Hardy won the four cylinders in a triple crown race, part of the duel on the dirt for the mini stocks, which started this year up there in the North Country. And then Brent Bigelow won the Mod Lights, and Jeff Larmont won our brand new six-cylinder division. Pretty much glorified enduro. I call it controlled chaos within reason. And it's fun. The guys get the, pretty much they build enduro cars, put the roll cage in it, they cut out the windows, and go racing. A fun way to get into the sport.
Yeah, new division this year for the Merrittville Speedway, and a lot of some tracks have been experimenting with the six-cylinder cars, and good to see Merrittville giving it a try. But looking at the schedule this year, Stephen, what should race fans mark down on their calendars? We'll start here with Merrittville and then get you, your thoughts on Humberstone here in a minute. But with Merrittville, what are some big dates on the 2018 schedule?
Well, Merrittville, of course, one of the big ones is Victoria Day Monday. It's Brian Stevens Memorial 67 lap modified race in honor of Merrittville's 67th anniversary. We're also bringing in the Action Sprint Tour, which is the crate sprint tour that started up with Oswegan. So they're coming to town on Monday. Of course, the big block race, the Harvey's 100 for the Super Dirt Car Series on Monday, August 6th for a Civic Holiday. Always an exciting show. Plus, we have the pasta dinner on Monday. And then, of course, we have the BEI Series coming up. We have the ROC Tour coming up in August. They do a two-day swing in the region. And then we'll end it up with the Southern Ontario Sprints and the Sportsman Super Dirt Car Series on Saturday, September the 7th.
Of course, as I said, year two under Don Spieth, and not only the change in ownership, but some new folks coming in, running the race program over there at Merrittville. But it seems like everybody's filling into their new position nicely, and they even had some change this year. Who are some of the folks running the show there now on Saturday nights?
Tommy Beals is race director in his second season. Steve DeVos is still on the flag stand, and myself and Jim Hanley are the announcers up there at Merrittville, and it's been fun working with Jim. I know you've worked with him in the past over at Humberstone a few times.
Yeah, Jim's a good guy. What did he try and run for mayor?
He tried to run for mayor. He's on the city council, and he's planning on running again for mayor of Thorold, Ontario.
That's pretty cool.
We may have to call him Mayor Jim if he actually wins it this time.
That, of course, the big one at Merrittville every year is that Super Dirt Car Series big block event, of course, the back-to-back with Ransomville and the Summer Nationals, but that's always a good show. Always the highlight is when they bring the starting lineup down in front of the fans there for drive introductions and then fire the engines right in front of the fans. That's always one of the highlights of the racing season. No matter how many times they do it, Steven, it's just cool to have the cars get up that close with the fans, and I know they love it.
Oh, they love it. The fans love it. We love it in the tower. It shakes the tower, and it's pretty exciting, and it definitely gets the adrenaline going with the big blocks when you hear the roar of the big blocks fire up in front of you at Merrittville.
Stephen Petty joining us from the Merrittville and Humberstone Speedways, and Stephen, let's shift to Sundays. Of course, they're off today for Mother's Day, and last week you guys had the Dawn of Destruction, but the on-track action starts next Sunday. What can race fans look forward to this year at Humberstone?
It is our same exciting five-division show with our Pro 4 trucks, our four cylinders. The Thunder Stocks, we renamed the Street Stocks to the Thunder Stocks to compare them with Oswegan and Merrittville. And we have our Rush Crate Late models, and then our Sportsmen are the highlights, the headlining division. On Sunday nights at Humberstone, we kick it off on Victoria Day weekend on Sunday with a fantastic five-car show. Plus, we'll have the Crate Sprints in a few times. I believe the SOS is coming. And, of course, the big one with the All-Canadian Championships, and then the Pete Costco Memorial for the Modifieds, a big $4,000 to win show at the end of August. And then we'll wrap it up with the Sportsman Super Dirt Car Series in September. And then, of course, the Eve of Destruction, Canada's wildest motorsports event at the end of September to cap off the year.
Did I see the Bob St. Amand, the St. Amand family, they've moved their memorial race to Humberstone for this year?
They did Sunday, July 8th, is the Bob St. Amant Memorial Race for the sportsmen. It's going to be for all divisions. And the St. Amant family has been absolutely amazing to work with in planning the race this year. They moved it from Merrittville over to Humberstone, and we are glad that they did.
And the week before that, Canada Day, you guys are going to be open and a big holiday show of fireworks, and it's a big one for the Race of Champions Dirt Sportsmen.
It is on Canada Day, and all of our divisions, $1,000 to win showdown for every single class.
Wow.
At Humberstone on Canada Day. So our trucks, our four-cylinder drivers, they win $1,000. Look, they won the lottery.
Yeah, that's great.
So we will expect big car counts that night as well.
You've got a new co-announcer there at the Humberstone Speedway, right? Kendra Adams, who was a pretty darn good pavement late model driver over at, Sunset or Flamborough. She's gone down south to do some work, and she's also quite pretty good in front of the camera and behind a microphone. And I believe she's working with you this season, right?
Yes, she is. We got her feet wet last week with our Dawn of Destruction, and she thought it was absolutely crazy what our drivers did up there last Sunday with the Enduro. She's never seen Enduros go 6 and 7 wide, and they went 8 wide in turn 3 at Humberstone, which is pretty dangerous to begin with a normal stock car, yet alone an Enduro car. And she was great to work with, and she says she wants to get her feet wet in the dirt world, and she wants to run one of our dirt cars. So hopefully, who knows, we might strap her with a wireless microphone and better go have fun in a truck or a four-cylinder, or even if she wants to run a sportsman, by all means, we'll do it, and we'll have fun.
Very cool. Well, Steven, again, thank you for doing this on short notice. I really appreciated it and getting to talk about two of your home tracks. And again, MerrittvilleSpeedway.com and HumberstoneSpeedway.com. And Humberstone, again, starts their season next Sunday. They are off tonight, but 6:30 every Sunday there in Port Colborne. And then, of course, every Saturday night in Thorold for the Merrittville Speedway. Steven, we'll see you Friday night. The Big R, thanks again for the time today.
Yeah, no problem, Dave. Thank you.
All right, take care. Steven Petty from Merrittville and Humberstone Speedways as part of the Niagara region for the dirt car world, along with the folks at the Big R Ransomville Speedway. Good to see some new faces over there working over at Humberstone, and I like the schedule. I think they're trying some different stuff. I think the Canada Day show with the $1,000 to win all the classes, that's fun. And then they've tried to do some different things over there at Humberstone and get some bigger races. And it's certainly a fun place to go if you ever have a Sunday night. It's the short track that is closest to downtown Buffalo. If you take out the wait at customs over there at the Peace Bridge, if it's just strictly time and distance and you take out the wait at the border, it's the closest track to downtown Buffalo. And it's real simple. You just cross the Peace Bridge, the second exit once you get on the QEW, and then just hang a right and you go down, Garrison Highway 3 there, and you can't miss it. It's on the right-hand side. So it's a short drive for those of you that live in the Buffalo area or maybe the northern suburbs. It's not a far ride. And they do a fun little show. They try and keep the program moving because it is a Sunday night, so you can get to work on Monday. But definitely, I enjoyed the couple of seasons I spent there working, and it's a fun little racetrack, and they put on a good job, good show. And Merrittville goes without saying, too, of course, coming out of the Bicknell-Williamson era, now with Don Spies, but the Modifieds, of course, are amazing there, and they've got some of the best names in the region there every Saturday night. And the Sportsman Division, at all the local dirt tracks, the Sportsman Divisions have some great car counts right now, so great action at both of those dirt tracks just across the border, a short drive for those of you here in Western New York. Speaking of local racing, we'll come back. We'll hit the local racing roundup. We've got some results to talk about, including a big race last night at the Lancaster Speedway. We'll talk about that and wrap up this Mother's Day edition of Fast Track here on WGR.
Let's find out who visited Victory Lane this weekend. It's time for the local racing roundup on WGR's Fast Track.
We'll start with the Friday night action. The Ransomville Speedway kicked off their 2018 season, And in the modifieds, Eric Rudolph cruised to victory over Ryan Soucy, Pete Bucknell, Jesse Contras, and Matt Farnham. Adam Leslie, kind of a surprise winner in the Sportsman. His first victory at the Big R over Brett Senek, Derek Wagner, Kevin Wills, and Chris Burek. Chris DeZamba got his first street stock win, holding off Pete Stefanski in the closing laps. Anthony Hermanson won the four-banger race, and Cody Wolf got his first novice Sportsman win at the Big R on Friday night. Lancaster Dragway, they had Test and Tune rained out. They will open up their points this Friday night. Also, Freedom Raceway down in Delvin was scheduled to open on Friday, but they also rained out. They will try again this Friday, too. Saturday night action, Genesee Speedway in Batavia, they got their second race of the year in the books. David Pangrazio getting the win in the Crate Late Models, led all 25 laps. Ray Bliss Jr., Zeke the Streak, got the win over Andrew Smith and Austin Soucy, and that's a little bit of redemption for Austin as he was leading at Ransomville on Friday night until he broke, so nice to see him get a good top five finish on the weekend. Dave DuBois got the win in the 360 Late Models. Teddy Morseman Jr. in the Street Stocks. Eric Brumstead in the Mini Stocks. Adam Jackson in the Bandits lead, led all 12 laps. Lancaster Speedway last night, kicking off the 60th season of stock car racing, Patrick Emmerling won the Queen City Clash 75 for the Race of Champions Modified Series over Darren Shearer and Darrell Lewis Jr. Emmerling coming through the field and getting by Darren Shearer and holding on to victory, including holding off Shearer, who tried to make a late charge there at the end, but Emmerling gets his first modified win at Lancaster since 2016. The Race Champion Superstock feature went to Tim Gullo out of Elmira. The Street Stocks, Rich Sharp back in victory lane as he came through the field after suffering a early race penalty to pick up the win in his title defense of the Street Stock Championship. And Dave Brunka took advantage of contact between leaders Chris Pinnell and Dan Dressel to pick up the opening night win in the four-cylinder division there at Lancaster. And their Saturday night action will be returning this coming Saturday night there at Lancaster, as the Sportsmen will make their season debut as well this coming Saturday night. Ladies' night at Lancaster on Saturday, $5 for ladies for general admission. Plus, they're going to have a powder puff race for the four-cylinder cars as well, too. Holland Speedway had their practice session rained out, but they are going to try to kick off their season this Friday night. Friday racing starts at 7:30 there at in the hills of Holland, so they're going to race the street stocks, their four-cylinder street stocks, eight-cylinder street stocks, TQ Midgets, and Sportsman Modifieds, as they will kick off their new era this coming Friday night. So some back-to-back asphalt racing in Western New York with Friday at Holland, and then Saturday at Lancaster and Wyoming County, too. We'll be getting going here very soon as well on Saturday nights down in Perry, New York. So that'll do it. Thanks for listening. Once again, happy Mother's Day. Have a great Mother's Day, all you moms out there. Hope everybody can have a great day with their families. We'll talk to you next Sunday as we've got All-Star Racing action down in Charlotte. We'll see what the cup cars look like with restrictor plates on a mile-and-a-half track. We'll see if that can improve the product at all just a little bit. And we've got Indy 500 qualifying will be next weekend, so we'll take a look at how the field starts to shape up for the greatest spectacle in racing, and hopefully a lot of local racing to talk about. Hopefully we get a nice weekend, everybody can get their shows in, and we can get some more local racing action here in the books as the 2018 season just getting rolling. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next Sunday here on WGR.
Hello, this is Joe Cordell of Cordell & Cordell. Here are a few quick divorce tips.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.